Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, curious conversations about the Black and queer experience. I'm one of your hosts, Tony, and today, Jordan, Damon, and I are discussing how the landscape of New York City queer life has evolved over the years. What have been some of the biggest hurdles for Black queer nightlife curators? How can we support and uplift the work of Black queer party promoters and ensure that their contributions are recognized and valued? This is Butch Queen on the Scene, Part 2.
Ow.
All right.
All right, Butch Queen on the Scene, Part 2.
Well, where Leon at?
Butch Queen on the Scene, yeah.
Our Part 1 guest.
Leon.
He was one of our first guests.
He was one of our first guests. It was so much fun. And if you haven't understood so far, this is Part 2 of a first conversation that we had with Leon Curry. So go back and listen to Butch Queen on the Scene part. Well, just Butch Queen on the Scene.
Butch Queen,
exactly. That was season two, right?
Yeah.
I think that was season two.
Yeah. No, yeah. Getting mixed up, child. We got seven now, child.
We got seven, child. I'm going to stop counting in a minute. When we get to 10, it's just going to be surface level
X.
So, you know what? Guess what?
What?
We've made it to the final episode of the wind selection of our Earth, Wind, and Fire themed season. Yeah, you know, we're just coming up out of the tornado, and guess what? The feedback is also in. Okay. Tens across the board. Tens across the board so
Lovely.
Far. And to close it out, we had to up the ante.
Period. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we started out the season saying the power of three will set us free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were on our charmed tip, and I think now we're going to be raising the stakes, because I wonder what the power of six is going to give.
Ooh, so, a lot of voices.
Didn't I say six was my fantasy in one of these episodes?
Six men.
I said six inch heels.
Did you bring your heels?
No, I got on Vans.
Six men. And now
she got on flats.
We're back to six men, and we're going to have some of the who's who of Black queer nightlife in New York City.
Yes, we are.
I'm excited.
I am too.
You know what? We had to get these schedules together.
There's
a little bit of Tetris going on.
Hello.
Scheduling Tetris.
But we got it together and we're here. So why don't we go ahead and introduce today's guests? Today, we have a special treat for you all. If you've ever partied in New York City, you're probably familiar with at least one of our guests. Yes, that's right. It's plural, because today we're being joined by three heavy hitters in their own right. We have Chuck, owner of Club Lambda, BK, and the Lambda Lounge in Harlem. Joe, owner of Joe Morris Events, and part owner of Brunch Harlem. And Micah, founder of Deviant Events. And it's our pleasure to welcome all three of them to our Surface Level family.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes. This is quite crowded in the studio today.
It's a party.
It's a party. We need a disco ball that came on down the center. The lights should have changed.
We should have had a disco ball. Did you bring a disco ball?
I didn't.
I know y'all like props.
I have balls that I brought with me.
Don't pull those out.
Not today.
Okay.
Not today.
I thought we were sex positive.
No, you.
Not this episode.
You know what? Anywho, I think that it would be great for us to start with an icebreaker so that we can kind of like lube it up a bit.
Oh.
Get everybody like
nice
comfortable,
and ready.
Nice and ready. You know, you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So I want us to stay ready. So we're going to start with a game that I'm calling Who's That Girl? So I'm taking us back to a social post that we created for Butch Queen on the Scene Part 1 that was with Leon Curry. And we did a post where we had 9 different types of girls at the gay club, but it was a list not to be taken seriously. So don't take yourselves too seriously. This is going to be rapid fire, and I don't want you thinking too much. Like, just go with the flow here.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read the description for the type of club girl, I'm going to ask, who's that girl? And on girl, I need you to point to the person in the room who you think that girl is.
And say it too, so, for the people who are listening.
No. I'm going to give the reveal.
Oh, okay. Well, he wrote the rules.
I'm going to give the reveal, so it's going to be that girl. Okay. I need you to point on girl, and then we'll reveal who the girl is.
Okay.
All right. The popular girl knows the promoter, bartenders, DJ, and at least half the party. Who's that girl? For those of you listening, it was unanimous. Mr. Joe Morris himself is that girl. I wonder why. You know, he isn't it, boy. The cruising girl. Only at the club for one reason, to find a date for the night. Who's that girl?
I don't know y'all that well enough to say.
Okay,
so where are the hands? We have.
This is that Spider-Man meme.
I think it might be a tie because Joe's pointing at me. Oh no, and you're pointing at Joe.
Yeah, so it's two for Tony and two for Jordan.
No, actually, I think Jordan was that girl.
The cruising girl.
I
agree.
Okay, the girl's girl.
One night only.
The girl's girl gets tons of secondhand attention from having their pretty girlfriends with them. Who's that girl?
That's me. Secondhand attention.
Who is the girl who has their girlfriends at the clubs and gets lots of secondhand attention?
I'm gonna go with Chuck.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chuck's the winner of the girl's girl. You got all the pretty girls with you. The city girl notices when someone pays for their bar tab with a metal credit card. Who's that girl?
Who did it?
Okay, so
everybody's like, it's me.
I think that was everybody except me. Everybody except me and Micah. I don't think anyone pointed at Micah. I think it was Jordan, Joe, Damon, and Chuck in that one. The fashion girl thinks of the party as a fashion show, and they're the opening act. Who's that girl?
I don't think that's fair.
For real.
So, Damon won that one, and he doesn't think it's fair, but it's not up to him. The discreet girl hides their face the second they see the event photographer lift their camera. Who's that girl?
No, everybody else put your hands down. It's this one.
Give it to you. So
I'm going to give that to Jordan as well.
Please don't take my picture.
Right.
Delete it. Leon. Show it to me so I can delete it.
You got to sign off on that.
And then go into your delete it and then delete it again.
Okay, we have three more. The chatty girl finds a seating area and spends the night talking to one person who will let them. Who's that girl?
I was going to say Micah.
I think Micah won. I think I came in close second, so we're going to give that to Micah.
Like to
my friend loves the chat.
Okay.
I just know like a lot of people, so you said it was the one person.
What are y'all talking about? Go dance. Like, no, we got to get this shit off our chest.
The twerking girl. Dedicated to showcasing the latest choreography and dance trends. Okay. Who's that girl?
I think I won that one.
But I'm not.
You don't get to decide. That's what you said.
I don't do the choreography. No, that ain't me.
I haven't seen the eight count, but I definitely.
You definitely ran up in front of the block party. Somebody, we going to dance. I was like, Next thing we knew, mother was falling into a dip.
And lastly, the regretful girl. The regretful girl was convinced to come out and told that it would be fun. Who's that girl?
I was like, why am I here?
Damon.
Like, how did we get here?
Damon won that unanimously, I believe. And, you know, it's fitting. I can see that for you. And lastly, just for our guests today, for Chuck, Joe, and Micah, we ask this to everyone who comes to Surface Level, and we want to know, what are you curious about? And this can be anything. Big, small, funny, serious. Who has an idea of what they're curious about? Who would like to start? I'm just going to call out names. Joe, you came to talk today.
I'm curious about a lot of things. I mean, I think that that's like what keeps me going. Always like asking questions and surrounding myself with people that are smarter than me. Watching things and just like learning. I think curiosity is like the only way that you move forward. The only way that you grow is challenging yourself for the things that you know and things that you don't. So I'm curious about a lot of stuff. It's kind of hard to say one thing specifically.
Okay.
But one of my mind fucks is, I feel like it should be like one of the wonders of the world. How do planes fly? Like, I get it, but I don't. And it's also like, how do women like...
Oh, and another thing.
You're pregnant. And it's like, you're talking to me just like, normal and you just have a whole person inside of you. I just, it's certain things I can't wrap my head around. Those are two of them.
Yeah. A little bit of an enigma. Chuck, how about you? What are you curious about?
I would have to say the state of our community right now. And I would say that because, you know, Mike and I, we were just talking earlier, you know, with the, I saw a ban on businesses to individuals a part of the LGBTQ community. So it kind of makes me wonder, well, where are we going to be at within the next 5 to 10 years when we've made so much progress over the last 20? So that's what I want to know. What's going on with me?
How about you, Michael? What are you curious about?
He kind of, so that's where my head was too, is like, what the fuck is the future of America? Like, where are we headed? I often ponder, like, what the fuck happened to Rome? Because it seemed like such an amazing place. They were having orgies, people had gold, and somehow one day it fell. And I just feel like America is this great, grand, but scary place. We don't know what the fuck tomorrow's going to bring. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, clearly they read the questions. and they cheated.
I had time.
I had time to think about it. I didn't go first.
Okay, that was not off the top.
Listen, curiosity can be anything. I'm curious about how these two shows for me going to see Beyonce's Renaissance. Like, listen, I can't wait. Some folks in the room have seen it already.
I go in 2 weeks.
A show of hands. We got Jordan. We have Micah. That's it so far. Joe, I know you're coming up. For your birthday, around your birthday time, so that's going to be exciting. All right, so thank you all for letting us know what you're curious about. That's always something that is really intriguing, and you just never know what anyone's going to say. However, we have to start here because we're doing a episode about New York City nightlife, and we can't do this episode without acknowledging a giant in this community that we recently lost, Frank Watson. We all knew and loved Frank, and I personally knew him for about a decade. And he was never anything but kind, and I've often referred to him as a gentle giant. And his events and presence exuded the essence that, just an essence that everyone wanted to be around. You know, and his parties and the events that he curated really made people feel seen, feel less alone, feel embraced, feel a sense of belonging, which I think is what everyone here is trying to do more of. And so with that said, we'd like to dedicate this episode to our beloved Frank. And let's get the conversation going.
Yes, that was beautiful.
That was really beautiful.
Thank you.
And so we like to start these conversations sort of taking a look back. So this question is open to everyone, but let's discuss some of the ways in which nightlife has changed over time and how those changes have impacted the Black and queer community. Damon, how about we start with you?
You know, over time, I would just say that, like, if we talk about the time in which I knew, so the last 10 to 12 years in the city, like, everything that I went to when I was younger was all about a party. Mm-hmm. And it was all about places. And this is when we were, I would say, a lot less comfortable with ourselves. It's like, where can we go and, like, live a life that's so separated from our work and nobody knows who we are? So, child, we were all the way up in the heights with God knows who in strange places. And I think thinking about how nightlife and just generally social places and things are now, like, there's so much more, I would say, diversity. From lounges to clubs to bars to like even thinking about things that we've done as a social activity, like we did Moby Talks and people come to like a live fucking podcast. Like that's not something I could have wrapped my head around 10 years ago when we were just getting out downing bottles of vodka on Friday nights.
Kettle One
specifically.
Yeah.
Don't mix it up.
Sometimes not even making it out.
Not.
Pre-game too hard.
It went too hard. Like, and I
always gotta lay down.
Right. And like, and nightlife for me has also changed because sometimes it's about a day life. Sign me up for the day party. Yeah. Take me to the block party.
Yes.
Because, baby, if I can get in the bed at 8, I'm good. Sign me the fuck up.
How about actually we go with you, Joe, next and then just move around the table clockwise?
Okay. I feel that a lot has changed. I think the apps have made it a lot more difficult to curate events because before it was like the only place you could come to like meet people and to fraternize with your friends and to like hang out and to find dates. I mean, that's kind of what most people go out for, right? Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it's like at your fingertips. So I think that the likelihood of the masses going out is like cut in half. And then you have all these different promoters. I think old New York was like nightlife. We're like teetering back towards that now. I feel like we're like figuring it out with all the different options, to Damon's point. With having, you know, spaces for everyone, right? And I think that people are gravitating toward the moments that they look for. Like, I represent a specific type of person. Micah does as well. Chuck is getting all of the coins. He's housing all of it. But I think that it's different. It's beautiful for the ways that we've progressed as a community. I think that the people that came before us would be really proud of us. I'm proud of us. I think, though, at large, emphasis is on not really so much like networking and meeting people. And I try to have fun, but I also want to curate events that people feel a connection. And I think that social media and the apps have kind of left us in a space where it's not really about a network or a connection and growing and learning and teaching one another. And I think that that's our work as promoters, to make sure that we have events like Moby Talks. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know that Deviant has a segment where it's about like speaking and connecting. So I think that's our work.
You know, I never, and that's why I'm glad we're having this conversation, because from that perspective of the apps being something that takes people out of the scene, none of us who are not promoters or not really curating parties or events like that, that I'd never thought about when it comes to the apps. And the apps really bring people out of the scene. It's an excuse to not have to go out. Mm-hmm. And what you all...
Uber Eats your boy. What flavor do I want tonight?
And what y'all are doing is figuring out other ways and other programming that works, that it's a reason and a draw for people to come out. Mm-hmm. So
it definitely makes it more challenging. Like, I remember I started promoting in New York City like over 10 years ago. And when I first started promoting, it was no apps. We didn't even have like Google Maps. Like, you had to do like MapQuest to figure out the shack that was available, because obviously back then they didn't give black queer people clubs. Like, you had to like make a club out of a restaurant or like whatever was, you know, available. So
were you still in the era of passing out flyers? I don't know.
I did this pass, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. This brings me back. Like, passing out flyers and like, you know, and it was no way of like forecasting, right? Yeah. Like, whereas now, like, the apps definitely work in our benefit, because we know like if our party is going to be well attended. Whereas before, it was like, you send out a text, you send out an email, and it's like,
cross your fingers with
you. Yeah, you make the bar guarantee. That's right.
What was that original app, the one?
BGC?
Yes. BGC.
It was a website.
That's my right. Yeah, you're right. It was a website. You know, it was available on desktop. You could also access it from your BlackBerry.
If you were privileged.
Well. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Micah, what about you? How do you think the landscape has changed over the years?
Yeah, so I know we're talking about New York life. My first nightlife experiences actually began in Atlanta. That's where I moved and went to college. So I'm more of like a 708 Chaparral Tracks girl. I didn't start going to New York nightlife until like in four circuit parties. But back when I was frequenting nightlife in Atlanta, it was just a different environment. Like, it was, however I may seem today, I'm a very ratchet AC.
However you may seem today.
But it was very much that. It was like, you want to go, you would go to the Chaparral or to the 708 and take your shirt off and like dance all night and like be sweating. And there were dark rooms, and it was just so grunge and fun, queer. And I remember the boys like suffocating their asses, you know, so their asses would pop
out a little bit more and going to parties, and I was so uncomfortable going. It was whatever. It was just a great fucking time. myriad of people.
I have so many questions. Can we unpack that?
Yeah, but like
spilling over.
So just to highlight it a little bit more, right? Atlanta nightlife and just nightlife in general. For me was something where you just really went to go and like let your hair down. You literally felt uncomfortable when you were walking in, but by the time you got in there, you were like, ooh, I'm amongst community. Like, I'm amongst family. You're laughing with people. There was no violence. There was no, just no bullshit, you know? And then at some point in time, and please allow me the space and the grace to be like different and also contrary to people's opinions in this, okay?
Oh, please do.
All right. So at some point in time, nightlife began to shift towards lounges, and everybody had a section, and everybody had it. It was about whoever is like a part of the in crowd. And then people started dressing up really nice. And I got very disinterested.
Do you think social media?
So this was even before social media. I remember, I think everything in Atlanta was named after a number. So I think it was like 595. I think the club was called 595, where people would go and people would just stop fucking dancing. Yeah. And they would stand around, they would have their phone in their hand, they would stare at you. And like, it's like a hope, if I stare long enough, maybe you'll come and talk to me, or maybe, it was just a weird fucking game. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is not fun. Yeah. This is weird, it's creepy. Like, nobody's fucking talking. And so, yeah, I feel like, the changing landscape has been like an interesting thing.
Yeah.
And I've really missed and yearned for that ratchet ass environment again, because kind of like what Joe was saying, like clubs back in the day were your opportunity to meet somebody, you know, maybe a potential date, but really like also to make a new friend. And then when you're standing in a section that requires you already know people, God forbid you have to have the right outfit on, or else you're like looked down upon. It was just a lot of bullshit that came out of, I don't know where the fuck it came, but
the commercialization of the black queer experience. I mean, it's a real thing, and I totally get where you're coming from on that. And I also, what you're saying and your experience has really shaped, I think, a lot of the programming you put on with Deviant.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. For me, when I think about New York City specifically, in the beginning, there were your staple places to go out. I know that like Luke and Leroy was a little bit before my time. Langston was a little bit before my time. I think I've been to Langston before they closed. But then Secret was a thing that I was going to every week. The promoters at the time were like Bryce, and Rich Starr was a big promoter at the time. Even Joe and like the It Boys. And I'm thinking about Sean. My friend Theo knew these girls, and so thus I met Theo. We became friends and we were hanging out all the time. And we were going out every weekend like clockwork when I first came into the city after college. It was so much fun. Those days, you just didn't think about anything else. You just had fun. And over the years, things start disappearing and you realize like, where is there to go? Mm-hmm. Shake my ass. Where is there to go to be ratchet? Where is there to go to convene with the people? And slowly but surely, you stop seeing people hanging out as much. And the ones that you may want to see, because you feel like when you're out, I recognize the whole room and I don't like that. So I might want to go travel somewhere else to get something different. Or when there's someone new in town, everyone's pouncing on that person. And the apps, like Joe was saying, was a reason why people may have stopped going out as much. I think present day, I have mixed feelings, because there's an element that I love about what Mike is saying, where like now I appreciate a party where I can go out and shake my ass and dance.
A lot
of the parties aren't like that anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's not as fun when people are just pretentious, or they just look too good to sweat, or I don't know what it is. It's this whole like social class within the community that it makes it not fun. And so I've stopped going to those situations, but I do love the programming that is like this new birth of conversations and chats and community gathering and creating different moments that are broadening the landscape of the LGBTQ+ experience, which I think, Chuck, you're doing a great job at. Thank and you. So let's talk about you and your experience.
You two said something that I like. You said curated events.
And what I do see with the three of us at the table is, I've worked with the both of you, so this is why I'm coming with this. You really take the time to really sit down, you really take your time, and you curate these events. And for example, with Deviant, this is something that starts a conversation piece. You know, even with my staff, you know, weeks before the event goes on, they're talking about the outfit that they're going to wear. And I'm sure all the guests in there, everybody's talking about the ratchet, small-ass, kinky shit that they're going to wear to this event. Also, for example, we've worked together for Halloween, and that event was freaking amazing. I'm sure everybody and their mama talked about what kinky, slutty little schoolgirl outfit that we're gonna wear to this, you know, to this party. And I love the curatedness that we are starting to move into with our community, because it starts a conversation piece outside of us being in the club, as well as when they're in the club. Talk about Meat Fest, you know. Mm-hmm. It's on another world in regards to what's going on. But, you know, I see these guys in the party and they're, put me on your shoulders, you know? And it's like, they don't even know each other. And they're just like, did you see what happened? And it's just like, they're starting to meet each other while they're in the club. And it's like, I love the fact that a few of the promoters out there are starting to do these actual curated events in our community, which I'm one of the girls who I love a little ratchet time as well. But listen, I do like the fact that we do have people out there that are actually taking the time to curate it, because so many promoters, and it's not to say that these promoters are doing a bad thing, so many promoters create a flyer, get a DJ, and rent a space.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you pack it full, you're not dancing, you're just kind of standing around. And we've provided spaces where you can actually have a conversation before and after the event. So I love that.
I like what you said about curation, and I'm putting my marketing hat on right now.
Well, no. First of all, that was very intentional. using the word curation, because this is what these guys do. Like, they throw parties, but it's above and beyond that. It's beyond the surface level. And so that was an intentional use of that word, because I don't look at what they do as just party promoters, right?
Right.
And I think that gets lost. And I think we've had these conversations where it's like, people don't realize the work that goes behind the machine that makes these things happen for the community. So have some respect.
So as I was saying, that, you know, you use the term curation, because I put on my marketing hat when I heard that. And a couple of the other feedback that I heard throughout this question is that we have a lot more options, right? 10 years ago, I think that it was a very consistent, like, these four parties are happening weekly. And then maybe you have like the novelty party that comes up quarterly or something like that. Mm-hmm. But present day, there's so much more options, which is a great thing. But how do you, to your point, drive that audience and make your party and your event stand out? And that's why it's so important that, you know, curation is a part of that. And that's part of the reason why we invited the three of you here, because you all have very distinct experiences that you create for the community. And so that's the point that I was going to make, was that there's so many more options, which I love. It's like, are you looking for that ratchet moment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where it's just, you're twerking, you're sweating, and like, you got your vodka cranberry.
Yeah.
Are you trying to go?
I would like to twerk and sweat with a Hendrickson.
Okay. We'll make sure that we get that with your metal credit card.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, do you take American Express?
Exactly. And then you have, your parties where it's just like, okay, I want a dark room. I want to wear as little clothes as possible. I want to feel just like free to do whatever I want, and whatever my inhibitions are, I want to just forget about them for an evening. And you have all these options, and you can sort of tailor your experiences to, you know, touch on the very multifaceted culture and community that we have. And so this next question is for you, Joe, specifically.
Ooh, okay.
So you have experience.
Read the questions.
So you have experience throwing some of the biggest parties in the city over the years, from the It Boys to doing your solo thing. And I would love if you could talk about some of the biggest hurdles you faced over the years, and how you've been able to occupy the space that you have present day.
That's a really long question.
So basically, what are the challenges that you think that people may not know about putting on events or curating events and doing what you do?
Like, specifically, one of the things you brought up was about like the racial discrimination that went on behind the scenes, and you having to have someone else, you know, talk about that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's so layered. Like, it's so many like adversities that you have to like overcome in this industry that people like don't know about. One of which I discussed with Tony, when I started It Boy, it was three of us. It was myself, one of my best friends, Chase, and Max. Max and I didn't really know each other much. He also was just starting out as a DJ. This is just an example. I made Max a part of It Boy specifically because Max was, he's a white guy, right? So I would find myself going into these spaces and I would do all the contracts. I mean, through this community, I've taught all of your favorite promoters how to do a proper contract, right? I learned very quickly that these people were not listening to me, right? And I'm like, why is that? I'm college educated. I have the deposit to put down. I had a full-time job, very successful outside of promoting. And for whatever reason, these people wouldn't get me the contracts. They wouldn't pay me any attention. So I gave Max the hot seat, right? So I would prep him before us going into these meetings on what to say and how to speak to these contracts and what I wanted from these contracts. And it worked. So we went from going into basically back alleys and restaurants that we were flipping over into nightclubs to going into some of the bigger, you know, clubs in New York City. We got Pasha, we got Space, we got all these spaces that were not available to us simply because I was not the talking head, but I had someone on my team that was able to facilitate what was they were my words. So like it's little things like that, but it's also like the amount of money and care and attention that you put into an event that you curate. I'm not a party promoter, I'm an event producer. So I take great pride in what I do and I like to curate situations that I would like to go to, right? Like I think that it's important, it's our responsibility as, you know, queer people of color, specifically where I'm from, there's no one that looks like us. I didn't have that example. So I take it very personally to curate and produce a space that is something that I always long for. So I'm very passionate about what I do and my craft. The money that we lose in this industry, if you don't make that bar guarantee, if you break off in this ghetto ass fight and our event gets shut down and we have a $20,000 bar guarantee, it's up to us to do that, right? We're breaking up fights. If it's, you know, we may have a good relationship with a venue and you go off and you, Chuck was just saying someone shit in his toilet, like, or shit in his sink. Like, ooh. If you go off and you do that shit at a club that I am new to, they're not giving me the opportunity to come back there. Like, I think the biggest like misconception is you put this event together, and you reap the benefit in terms of the you know the monetary. You know, the revenue, but it's so much more than that. The block party that I just put on, it took me a year to produce that event. That was like, I was in countless meetings and countless calls and talking to the police commissioner and all these things. And sure, it was a great time. And, you know, I did well from it financially, but I started it a year ago, you know? So it's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that people don't know. And I think they should appreciate, especially the ghetto ass behavior. Stop fighting. Like to Micah's point, that was not a thing back in the day. You didn't come and fight. You came, you looked cute, danced your ass off, had a good time, left with a date, and looked for the next event.
I do see the fighting is a little bit less in New York than Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I mean, that's not even shade. Those are the facts.
Well, those
Micah
has
Micah might fight you.
Those girls moved over to Houston, which we love them too. We love them too. But Atlanta got known for fighting because of Compound. Compound has since shut down, and we don't see any more of those brawls so happening.
Going to Compound to Compound.
I guess so. But definitely, like it was like the let out of Compound was always a fight, and it was always broadcasted on Twitter. But I've heard that those people have since moved, and so yes, I mean I don't see fights happening in Atlanta as often. I've actually seen more fights in DC than I have Atlanta.
Really?
The politicians fight?
Wow.
Those DC girls in their loafers, they're
fighting square toe shoes. You can confidently say there were no fights for New York Pride.
No, that's not true. I had a fight, a large fight outside of Pound Town, outside of Whisper Club. It was my first time working with them. I cannot use that venue again. it was not like a, it's like fights and then there's brawls. It was a brawl.
Okay.
And I think that in my, you know, lifetime of my career in promoting, early on, I never had an event. I didn't even have I didn't hire exit security. Now I do. Every party that I have additional security for that reason, because people are fighting, getting cut, doing all kinds of crazy shit. We had an incident outside of, you know, outside of its club. And I was trying to de-escalate a situation, and someone I did not even know, I was trying to, you know, I fell and wrestling with someone, and I got cut in my head and ended up with stitches because I was trying to protect my friend. And I didn't have no stake in this. I'm just another owner in this industry. I'm a curator in this industry, and I know how tense things can get, how disrespectful people can be as men. You know, like, have some respect for someone's shit. Like, don't come in here acting crazy. So the fights do happen. It's not just in Atlanta or the politicians over in D.C. These girls are hella ratchet right over here in the Apple. So if y'all are listening, take that shit outside, down the street.
Down the street.
Like, it's black-owned business. Like,
yeah. I think that's what people lose sight of when they come out to have a good time. They don't realize that there's a lot at stake here, and they have no skin in the game.
Right.
And so therefore, they out and they're going to do whatever, and they don't realize that's a reflection on you all as the folks that are making this happen, but then also the community and why venues don't want us back.
Yeah.
So knock it off.
Yeah.
Now, to move on to Chuck.
Let's go.
Let's get it. We're going to talk about Lambda for a second.
Okay.
So with Lambda Lounge in Harlem and Club Lambda in Brooklyn, you've accomplished something that hasn't really happened in New York until recently, and that's being a Black queer owner of a space that's dedicated to the Black queer community. And we've noticed that you've experimented with different programming as a response to the changing needs and desires from the full spectrum of the community. So we'd like to know if there are any specific strategies or thought process that you use to remain relevant, or are you all just experimenting and throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks?
I think both. Of course, we're talking about Meat Fest.
Let's call it a thing. Because when Meat Fest happened, and listen, I love it. We're sex positive here at Surface Level. But there was a large conversation happening on Twitter, and the girls were like going off. But it was also like, wait a minute. Y'all don't go off foot. Like, y'all the same girls down in the gutter.
Yeah.
Right.
With all of us. Yeah. We down in the gutter too. Yeah. But like, why have this thing and make it such a big deal?
Well, so first, it's about being innovative. So it's kind of like, all right, we have to set ourselves apart. We have to do something that we've never seen done before. So that was the initial plan. But then it's like, it's trial and error. Meat Fest was literally supposed to start with just strippers. Let's just do strippers. Let's just do strippers. But then the strippers start getting buck wild.
So it's just like, you know, they're down there doing all this and they're doing everything like this. And I'm just like, okay, how do we take this to the next level? Because I can't have the same strip. New York does not have a lot of black male strippers here. So it's
just, I would like to sign up. I'm looking for extra money on the side.
I pay well. Listen. So, you know, it's just like, okay, I cannot have the same 1, 2, 3 strippers doing this every week. So, all right, well, let's start hiring Twitter guys. And, you know, Beyonce got to come into every conversation. So it's just like, all right, we watch Beyonce on YouTube. Why not come to Beyonce's concert? So let's get these Twitter guys to come in and let's see how far we could take it with them. And we've just been trying to stretch it and just keep it going as much as we possibly can. And it's starting to
Yeah. The girls literally, all talking a lot about it being stretched.
And you know, that one event, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers in months, but like we were at like 3.5 million views. And it was just like, they love us. They love to hate us.
There's an audience.
Yeah. For them. Yeah. You know, it's like everybody's on Twitter. Why not see it in person? Like, you know, oh, I'm never going back there. But then they follow me on social media. You know,
it's
like,
you do other things.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. And it's only, you know, it's a 10-minute show, you know, and I think everybody focuses solely on that because, of course, who wouldn't focus on two people having intercourse in the middle of a club? But it's 10 minutes, you know, we do that for 10 minutes and then you got 5 hours of going to the club.
Did they finish in 10 minutes?
I mean, some do, some just,
I'm just asking.
No, keep asking. I'm listening with bated breath. It's so funny because like sometimes people do to completion and like sometimes
it's hard to be in front of people and have sex. I mean, shit, I'm barely good at it one-on-one. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just kind of like, you know, to get in front of people and to be erect and to, you know, do all of that. That's got to be very hard to do in front of 300 people. Yeah. So sometimes they can complete it and sometimes they can't complete it. But they give a show.
Like, cheers to the sex workers.
Yeah, listen, I'm employing them. We're giving them, listen.
We are like supporting sex workers. They're doing a bomb ass job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if it's not, go ahead, sorry.
I just wanted to say, like, we never have to have conversations about Folsom Fest, right? Mm-hmm. That is a whole actual celebration of sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because it's had amongst white people, majority white queer people, is the whiteness gives them the allotment of the fullness of their humanity. And it's like, because we are black and brown, how dare we engage in sex? Mm-hmm. God forbid public sex.
Yeah.
God forbid get gay public sex. Mm-hmm. Like, people gotta like realize we have been so conditioned to damn ourselves at this point. Like, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Yeah. So it's like, don't, everybody doesn't have to go to Folsom Fest, but we also don't have to make it a Twitter conversation.
Right.
Like,
I think,
but, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I think that, like, even like we were having this discussion about it when it came up, and I was like, why is everybody so fucking freaked out about it? I was like, we've all gone to meet. There are sex shows at meet all the fucking time.
I've seen you there.
I'm just like, and at no point did anybody say, did you all see those porn stars on stage having sex?
Yeah.
It's just a part of the experience.
Yeah, it's a part of
and then when you take that same experience and you put it in a black and a brown space, then it becomes, oh my God, this is salacious. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, this is a thing. And I'm like, girl, shut the fuck up.
But it's because it's new. You know, like, we've never seen it in our community. And give it 6 months, we won't be talking about it.
But, at all. I mean, they've been doing this shit in Atlanta for years, right? Like, this is not, it's new, I guess, to the New York space. My advice to those folks that are naysayers, you have, what days of the club? What days?
We're open Thursday through Sunday from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Skip Thursday.
Right.
Friday, it's not free, but that's fine. It's enough for everybody out here to go and get your thrills and all those things. I will say this, and this is a question. Mm-hmm. Back in my day, before I was in a relationship, hey, babe. I have been in a dark room or two, and I don't want to be seen in a dark room. I don't want to be seen in a live sex show. Yeah. I find it to be alarming. My only critique would be, don't put your phone on me. Like, I'm here to see a show.
I hate that.
I don't understand why you feel the need to whip your phone out and show, I'm not a part of the show, but the show's down there. Right. Like, why am I a part of your show? So for that reason, I've been to Meet Fest, right?
Yeah.
I've been to Deviant. Mm. I will attend any event, but I'm very cautious about the way that I move, because to your point, at Folsom or like the Black Party, you got to put pieces of tape on your phone. Yeah. You go into a lot of these, you know, our counterparts' events, it's not the same interaction or exchange with iPhones. Like,
it becomes like
you bring up
and I hate, I'm like, bro, like, let everybody,
like, you had to be there.
Guess what? I got to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Like, this is a huge point of contention that I think Damon, Jordan, and I talk about all the time, is when we go out, we want to just be out. We want it to be euphoria. We don't want to be filmed and recorded. The girls are doing what the girls are doing. Yeah. Let the girls do what the girls do.
Period.
And it doesn't have to be, every moment is not for TV, girl.
And I think that's an incredible point. I just want to make this point really quick, because you talked about, like, you know, sex shows, and I guess this type of thing is maybe new for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For those people going into those spaces, if they're trying to experiment, I do think it's important that they're able to do so freely. And we talk about this in our episode last season when we went to Berlin Pride, and we compared sort of like the New York experience versus like the European experience. And one of the things that I think that we all loved is that when we went into the gay club that was, you know, a little bit more sexually liberated, they put them stickers right up on them cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And
they would drag you
up
out of Berkheim if you pull that phone out.
Okay. Well,
drag you out.
It's a level of anonymity that's appreciated when you're in that space.
It allows you to experiment, you know, and comfortably, especially if it's something that you're not familiar with or not necessarily comfortable with, and you're just testing the waters.
There's so many people who want to go to those things, but they're like, they see the phones and they get discouraged because they're like, I don't want to
I don't want to explain to my coworker that's like an accountant.
Right.
Girl, I saw you on Twitter. Yeah.
And it's not to say that people are not sex positive or whatever right. the case may be. It's just to say, like, girl, this is just,
I just don't want
my
be
privacy.
Seen.
Right.
Yeah. That belongs to me. It's yeah. not for you. That mm-hmm. sex is like one of the only things. Mike and I have spoken about this, you know, to her blue in the face. It's one of the only things that you like have the freedom over in your life and full control over. So why are you then inserting your shit onto me? Like, keep your phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
You guys, my yeah. note to you.
Yeah.
Do your shit, but don't let phones allow, because it people like me, to Tony's point, I don't want to go to that because yeah. for that reason specifically, you can do your thing. I've done it all.
No, to touch on your point, you know, it's not just individuals in there just sleeping with anybody. It's a lot of people that two people meet on the dance floor right. and they just happen to vibe and they just go in to sit down and kiss. And I mean, you know, they might do a touch or, you know, they might do a lot of other things, but you do have the right, but they're going to flip it, because if you see somebody on that camera in the dark room, that means they were with everybody in that dark room. But it doesn't, but it's not like that all the time, you right. know? So I definitely agree with you on. Yeah, that needs to be a little.
And I think language is very important, which we're talking about is a different level of consent, right? If mm-hmm. you did not consent to being on someone's camera,
you should not be
on camera, yeah. right? Like, and people have got to learn to respect that. So I think like creating certain boundaries so that every person in the building can be consenting or not is very important.
That's, listen, smart. Keep that one. Remember yeah, it.
I like that.
and what's the word that I want to say? Like, actually make that happen. Like,
Implement.
Come on. Come on, Joe. Get outside my
three
head.
Three syllable word.
So, Micah, we're going to switch gears and we want to talk about Deviant for a second here. Yes. Now, with Deviant, you and Frank have brought the Circuit Party, which is known to have a mostly white queer crowd, mm-hmm. to a black queer audience. And a lot of girls are new to it, not me. I'm not one of those girls that
she's bringing it
but
old
for the
way.
New girls, I'm like, y'all are making me tired and I can't come mm-hmm. because y'all are with the phones. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the reception that you've received and maybe a little bit of the backlash as well with Deviant?
Yeah, so
the party, at least, not the other stuff that you all do, which is more than party. Yes.
Got you. So we're going to speak to just Deviant Signature Party, right? Yes. It was born out of the idea of a circuit party, particularly the ideals of a circuit party that are body positive, because we go into these environments and white men can look like whatever and they still feel celebrated. They still feel like this is like their time, their season. They embrace their bodies. They love themselves and we love them, right? Black and brown people deserve that same opportunity to like love ourselves. Sex positivity, it is an environment that is where people can choose their different levels of consent. So like, you know, if I want to go to the dark room because I seen you cute in the light, I can do that. Or if I want to go to the dark room and disappear and, you know.
Use me, Lord.
Hello? Shonda, that can happen too. But there's different levels of consent. Again, all of this is part of like our human being and autonomy. You know, we get to decide. And last but not least, it was born out of the idea of what is coined as harm reduction, we call drug safety. So we saw in circuit parties that people could experiment. And we had people that cared about us who would guide us through certain experimentation. So, you know, somebody, let's just talk about drinking, right? Okay, you're having a little bit too much to drink. You have somebody who is making certain you're not getting too drunk, or if you are, God forbid, you're getting in a car home safely. These things are important because they allow you to experience the fullness of your humanity. They allow you to explore and experiment and get it wrong sometimes, right? So some of the critique that we've gotten is a little bit of all of those things. People hear body positivity and they hold us to this incredible standard that is really their own. Our body positivity is wholly inclusive. That means trans and queer bodies as well. That means skinny bodies. That means fat bodies. That means short and thin. That means the racial diversity, making sure we run the gamut of black and brown. That is inclusive of Latinx and Middle Eastern. We have folks who are still sex negative, and so they see sexy people and they're like, oh my God, y'all must be a sex party. No, sis, like some people just like to feel sexy. Like, okay, we stepped outside of our computer for a second and decided to step into reality as a full sexy person and we feel good. Some people hear the idea of drug safety and they're like, all of it I understand. The black and brown community has endured a lot of trauma from this country and continues to endure.
when it comes to drug safety, the black and brown community has endured the 80s crack epidemic. And so I get it. We're traumatized. People got to understand that escapism and euphoria is also a part of the human experience that people are going to experiment with, whether you like it or not. It's kind of like sex. Mm-hmm. If you don't educate us about it, or you do, they're still going to try it. Mm-hmm. Better learn about it so you can stay safe, so people can guide you through the experience. Of course, people are up in arms about that shit too. People are up in arms about everything. People are looking to be offended. And I get that it's a lot. I get that it's a lot, but we deserve it all. As a community, we deserve all the education, all the information, and all the resources so we can navigate the fullness of our lives. I think that that's what I realized. I think, Joe, you were talking about longing for, when you talked about curating events. And I think that's what I realized that I longed for as a young black queer person a long time ago. I longed for the fullness of a queer experience. And that's why I love circuit parties, because I would go to these circuit parties and I would just fucking live.
To the traditional.
I mean, I would be, I looked up and realized I'm surrounded by white men.
Yeah.
And so I started bringing my black friends, and I realized at a time that was not enough. I had my one black friend who was like, yo, like, I don't feel the way you do. I don't look like you. I'm not being celebrated. I hate this fucking music. I don't want to pop a pill. And I was like, you know what? We got to create. Because you deserve to feel this shit too. You deserve to feel just as free and empowered and get the information that we're all getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I hope I answered the question. Oh,
no. I should have really read this question.
You're doing just fine, sweetie. Don't worry.
I think that was a masterclass on intentionality and thoughtfulness and care and real care. And like, just you've done the work. You all are not just doing deviant events. The parties, the game nights, the talks, everything else that's involved, you are actually informed. And that feels different. And we can receive that. I might not want to be at all the deviant. My first deviant was in LA. Loved it. But I was a little trepidatious about going prior because I was just like, these girls don't understand what a circuit party is supposed to give. This their first night out on the town, their first Beyonce concert, and I am a fan of my life. So,
yeah.
But it will evolve and that will change and the girls will get hip and conversations like these will help them understand that.
And I'll say too, like, I think with Deviant, somebody wrote this in a comment to us on Twitter, that they were like a circuit party like head. We call them, you know, circuit party queens, you know, that was their thing. They're a circuit party queen. And when they came to Deviant, they quickly realized this is not a circuit party. This is something of our own. Mm-hmm. Also understand that circuit parties are inspired by black and brown queer community.
Mm. Work.
They were born out of our house music. Mm. You know, they were born out of, you know, Michael Jackson and Madonna going to
they stole studio. That too? They stole that.
Yeah. This is our shit. This is, again, I mean, even, I mean, Deviant, we try to be even more intentional with like the themes and shit like that, but that's born, you know, from ballroom. Ballroom has a theme. They have a category, and so we just ask everybody to bring it. But all of this shit is our shit. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Frank also. I love that you mentioned his name. And Frank that I'm referring to right now is my business partner.
Oh, Frank.
Yes. Yes, my business partner who's like really intentional and hard on me and the organization to make
me
certain.
Too.
On everybody. Frank is hard on everybody, but he's really making certain that we're being intentional about helping folks understand that this is like a health and wellness journey. We are out here to make certain that you can live the fullness of your lives and then get what resources you need to like make it the best thing. And shout out to Frank Watson also, because that man, a good friend of mine, he understood all the trials and tribulations that we go through as black creators to like have to ask for space consistently, right? From white people. And then if you don't get it from the white person, then you got to go to the black straight people. And then they don't want queer people. There's so many hurdles that you have to jump. And so shout out to folks like Chuck who actually will like own a space and then make that for us. And then hopefully the community can come to understand through this conversation all the work that is done way before they buy a ticket or enter that space. The work that's done, the hard fucking work that's done with us, you know, putting names on the line, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'll never, this pride was probably one of my favorites, of this era, I'll say. And being at Joe's block party,
that block party
I swear to God, in 1 year, the next year was just like times, I don't even know, I can't even give a number on it, but the amount of joy that was felt, I could leave my house and walk down the street to a thing. I could cry right now because it was just, it invoked an emotion that was something that I never felt in that way. And it was such a beautiful event. And I was there with my sisters, everyone, the full community. It was just like a big old, one of my cisgendered heterosexual women friends, she said it was like gay homecoming. She was like, it's gay homecoming. Where are you? I was like, girl, I was there since 1:30. And I stayed until damn near 7-8. But she was like, it was like gay homecoming. And that's kind of like an accurate thing.
Can I say something really quick?
Absolutely.
In terms of like one of the questions that I was the really one, the long one that you asked me before. My being proud, like, this is what makes me proud, right? You guys have your own, like, podcast, right? We didn't grow up listening to shit like this. Facts. Right? This man has a whole brand. He has a fucking card game. Yeah. I was like, when he did the card game,
yeah, I bought, like, five of them. Like,
I'm like, work. Oh. A club, restaurants, we have spaces to go and to be free, mm-hmm. and to feel liberated. And we don't have to go to our counterparts and ask them anymore because we already have our spaces now. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. I just encourage people to, you know, patronize, to, like, come to the space and act like you have some damn sense. Mm. Spend the money because there's a lot that goes into this, as you can see and you can hear. It's like, be grateful because the people that came before us, when I started doing this shit, we didn't have these spaces. I had to, and we all had to just take what we could, mm-hmm. to, you know, create spaces for us. I'm from a small town. No one looked like me. I didn't
identify. Remind the people where you're from.
I'm from Bristol, New Jersey. Holla. There was just went there. None there. But there was no one that looked like me, and I didn't identify as a gay man until my, like, early 20s, because I didn't know anyone that looked like me, that was, you know, successful, that was smart, that was masculine. I just knew the few people in my community that were deemed as being like gay or whatever. So it was important for me to have these spaces. I'm really proud that people that are coming up after us have examples that look like us, so they can feel confident and free. Yeah. Like, that's the whole point of it.
And I want to also touch on it, support us, but don't condemn us via social media all the time.
I mean,
oh my gosh. It's like you get so many comments and then they stretch the truth and it's not always true. It's just like, there's nothing wrong with sending an email or, you know, jumping in a DM to
that doesn't get likes.
Yeah.
This is very specific. These social warriors want engagement.
Yeah, DeMond and Jordan, you know, very specifically, a friend of mine, I'm not going to say their name, but they like condemned Trappy on their Instagram story, and we kind of all felt like the ick. We were like, why? Like,
right.
We talk about this all the time, but you went on social media to like drag them, and it just felt
nasty.
Unnecessary.
Why are you are electing to come in and try to ruin my business, right? That to like drag.
they frequent you.
Yo, someone at my Halloween party at your space at the club, it was one person in particular that went on IG Live and read me for filth because he did not want to pay because it's this Beyonce complex and you feel like you that girl, right? You got your labels on that Michael talk about and all this shit, right?
You know from the God complex.
You're that girl and you think that you're supposed to be on my list. Bitch, I don't even know your first name. And this is business. I spent my money to produce this event.
Yeah.
$20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to produce this event. And you feel like you have the authority over my shit? Yeah. No, it's that. No. He went on IG Live, roasted me, posted this shit. He was just at my parties this weekend.
And that's the circle of life, a black queer life.
Well, just like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
all that for what?
Yeah. Well, it seems like you maybe did read the questions because we typically, this season, we're ending our show with a bit of homework. From our guests and then from ourselves, and we don't have guests, but for this episode we said, how can people better support and uplift the work of black queer community and culture curators, and generally what type of exchange would you like to have between yourselves and with patrons?
Yeah.
Not you. You are you've been going too much. Let Micah go. So,
to this whole point of social media, y'all know Deviant is put in a new scandal every other weekend. I don't know.
I've just recently heard.
I heard too.
That the girl, that Deviant was, I was like, what?
We get put in a new scandal every other weekend, y'all.
That's fab. I'm talking about you.
Literally, I'm just like, okay.
I mean, you're Princess Diana.
I'll let you say that because that's actually my approach. Like, I lead like Princess Diana. If you do have an issue, I would much rather you actually come and talk to me, get to know me as a person. If you hate me, drag me.
Yeah.
Like, a bitch can take it.
Yeah.
But this space that we're curating, these spaces that we curate, they're for the community. If you have a fucking issue with spaces for the community, bitch, go play in traffic on your own. But don't try to drag these spaces. Like, this is not about, it's not an ego trip for any of these individuals at the table.
Yeah.
These spaces, like we just talked about, are beautiful homecomings. They're beautiful family reunions. Don't ruin that for everybody. Yeah. If you have an issue, come and talk to us. Let us do the work to try to fix it, but realize that we're all in this together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're only as good, if COVID taught us nothing, we're only as great mm-hmm. as the least person that's a part of us. So like, let's try to do it together. Yeah. So that would be my two cents in how to answer that and how people could better support. If you got your critiques and you got your criticism, bring it to the individuals who are the actual leads and heads of these things, and actually try to create with us. Find out how hard that shit is, mm-hmm. and we'll do it with you. You know, I can speak for Deviant. We will do it with you. We will make certain to be more inclusive. We can make the changes. My last thing. Is when we talk about how we can support curators, check on us also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard fucking work. I have had panic attacks in the back of while everybody else is out there shaking their ass and having a great time. I have been in the back literally shaking, having a panic attack. I have seen friends suffer. I have seen friends, I mean, suffer in fury, suffer in silence and depression, suffer with substance abuse. This is hard fucking work. So for these people that we get to go and enjoy the spaces that they curate, ask them if they're okay. Let them know that they're doing a good job when they are. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you support them, that you want to see them win. Use your resources. If you're big on social media, use your resources to lift them up. This shit is not easy. So that would be my two cents.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Check. Ooh.
Yeah.
Chav.
Chuck, wait a minute.
You done made me emotional. Okay.
All right. That's some real shit.
Yo, it's real.
When I tell you, I literally work 24/7. Like, when I go to sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night and write notes in my phone. I sleep 3 to 4 hours a night. I'm up. I'm out of the house by 8, and I'm at the club by 6. I don't get a break. And people love to condemn us and break us down. I'm not that egotistical that I can't take any criticism. Don't break me down on social. I could get 150 likes, but sometimes that one bad comment will break me down for the day. So it's just like, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
We are human. We're human, and we mess up, and we have blind spots, and it's up to you to like come to us, you know, whether however your mode is, just, you know, be respectful, be constructive, and we will work on it. We all are running our businesses and we want to grow. And the only way we grow is through feedback. And I think that feedback is important, but it needs to be packaged in a way that is palatable. If you're coming at me on some weird, wild, crazy shit, I'm a man first. So watch your mouth. Don't get cute. And we'll be good. You know, I want everyone, you come to my restaurant, you know, I have all different, open a restaurant, they say, don't do it. don't do it. But like,
nobody does that. But you did it.
Everybody says it.
Don't do it. But I'm just saying, like, be respectful and give grace and be supportive. Like, I pride myself in being supportive to my peers, to people I don't know. I try to be kind. So just lead with kindness. And it's like, any of us will be receptive toward, you know, your experience. If it was a bad experience, how can we enrich that? How can we make that better? That's why we're here. Like, we're all passionate about it. We do a lot of bullshit. And we're all smart, you know, smart guys. We could be doing anything else, but this is something that we want to do.
partly for the money, because I ain't gonna hold you, it is nice. However, a lot of it is passion, because there are low lows when you ain't making shit and you're still out here grinding and still hustling and doing it. So like, be respectful of our journey as we are to yours, like, period.
I think the theme that I'm hearing right now is that regardless of what you're into, like, you might be a raver, you might be somebody who likes a lounge moment, you might be somebody who just likes to just be in like a quiet space with just one other person next to the bar. Go to that. And you don't have to tear down these environments that you really don't even really enjoy in the first place. Don't go. That's the beauty of 2023, is that there's so many options. And if you don't have the space that you want, create one. Mm. Because if you had a business, maybe you knew
how to run a business.
But you don't.
That's your lipstick, son.
So we are going to close and ask the three of you to tell our listeners where they can find you on social, where they can follow you for future events or activities, or where they can find your clubs and venues that you all own. So Joe, let's start here and let's go around.
Okay. I can be found on Instagram. _Joe_Morris is my personal IG. Feel free to reach out. And for the business, the restaurant, you can do just Brunch Harlem on Instagram. And as I was saying, Brunch Harlem is the only space in Harlem or in New York City, I believe, that you can get brunch 6 days a week. Our brunch is bomb, but our dinner is better. So come check us out.
Thank you. Micah.
Dope. My IG handle, don't know if I want everybody to have.
You don't have to.
Okay, cool. Visit us at Deviant Events on socials. Online, it is www.deviant.live. And I'm going to stop there. You can find out any other information you need to know about Deviant there. And shout out to, like, I just want to say this, like, you know, I know we gave that shout out to Frank Watson and starting, and he definitely, shout out to this generation of Black queer creators who support one another, right? Like, we look out for one another. Frank was definitely one of those people who, like, checked on me and, like, gave kudos and praise, like, the work and, you know, good people. I'm an emotional bitch. I'm a Pisces, so like I
let's cry together. I'm not a Pisces, but I'm gonna cry with you.
And Chuck.
Okay, you can find me on social media at club_lambda_BK, website lambdaloungeny.com. And my personal, I don't know it off the top of my head, so just check me out at clublambda.com.
Awesome. And that is all the time we have this week. If you enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.